Daniel in chapter 2. We're going to start with the first part of Daniel tonight. God willing, next week we will continue with the second part of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces." Wow, that's some real motivation, isn't it? Well, notice. "And your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of certainty that ye will gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler, that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or a Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That would be the names that's mentioned here are their given Jewish names. The names I had just mentioned were the Babylon pagan names that were given to him, okay? Trying to re-compatriate them, if you will. But notice in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now that what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings you give us. Now, God, I pray by your power, by your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would teach us and guide us and direct us into all truth. Help us tonight, Lord, to preach your word. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that we glean the truth from what your word says and help us to apply it to our lives. If there be one here tonight that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, we pray that you would work in their heart and save them even before this hour is done. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Daniel in chapter 2, we find, really, verses 1 through 49 is dealing with the great dream or the image or the great image that Daniel had the dream about. We'll get into that more next week, but that's talking about the image, of course, where he had the head of gold and then some of the body of silver, then some of brass and iron and clay and so forth. Well, we'll get into that next week, but here we find that in verses 1 through 6, we find that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had a dream. Now, this dream was different than some people would have today, or another king, Martin Luther King, had. The dream he had was that his children would be treated properly because of the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Well, here the king's dream that he had nothing to do with such noble characteristics. What it was this image had come into his head. It came into his dream. He didn't understand it. And it was scary to him. Now, I'm sure each one of us has had some kind of scary dream. I remember one time whenever I was probably in third grade. And I'll never forget it. I swear it was as real today to me, if I think about it, as it was when I was then. I had a bunk bed. And I was sleeping. My bedroom was in the room that was next to the basement steps. My brother would have been somewhere around 16, something like that, 17 maybe. And he would come in a little bit after I'd go to bed around 9 o'clock. And it was during the week. I knew that because there was school the next day. And in the middle of the night, all I remember is I felt like I had something had me by the throat and told me if I made a sound, it would hurt me. Now, I don't talk about this much because I'm going to tell you, it still yet, if I thought about it too much, it was just so real to me. And so I sat like that, laid like that for several hours, or what felt like several hours, and finally I said, if I'm going to get got, I'm going to get got hollering for my mom, and I started screaming for mom. She come running in there, and she checked on me, said, what's wrong? And I said, something got me. She looked at me and said, well, nothing's got you because you're still here. I'm like, well, okay, I guess you can't argue with that. But what had happened, then she went from there and she went and checked in my brother's room. He was sound asleep. So what had happened, the only thing we can imagine is I had a dream and it was scary. I remember that night I could not go back to sleep and it made for a long day the next day at school. Well, folks, I can imagine that King Nebuchadnezzar had this kind of dream, and it had him disturbed, it had him distraught, and it bothered him in his sleep patterns, and it had him where he just could not sleep. That's what it says in verse 1. Then in verse 2, as a result of this, the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. Why did he do that? So they could show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Now, there's a few things we need to understand here. The magicians here is talking about scribes. They were probably men that were very intelligent. They were probably religious leaders of their day and so on. Some of the commentators said the astrologers were those, that were enchanters, people that worked in the black magic arts and so forth. And then the astrologers, the sorcerers, probably worked in magic potions, enchanters, kind of the black arts and stuff. And then, of course, you had the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans was not all Babylonians here. But what they were is they were a class of wise men and priests. So you had all these wise people, all these smart people, religious leaders, people that they looked for wisdom, and that would be able to soothsay and perhaps find out what's going on here. So he called for them. Verse 3, "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." Said, "I've had a dream, I'm terrified, I don't know what to think." Verse 4, "Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac." Now, Syriac here is talking about the language, Aramaic, and it was a common language of the day. And so they said, "O king, live forever." Now, understand, you had a certain way that you addressed the king. You just couldn't go up to him. We're kind of casual, right? We go up to people and shake their hand, say, "Hey, how you doing?" We'll joke with them a little bit. But understand, the king, you didn't do that with. You didn't just go up and slap him on the back and say, "Hey, Nebi, how you doing?" No, you had to address him a certain way, and they addressed him like this: "O king, live forever." In other words, we don't want any harm to come to you. We owe you this respect. We love you. We're thankful for you. So they said, "O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Tell us about your dream, king. Then we'll tell you what it means." Well, notice in the next verse. "The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Basically, what he was saying is this. It seems to me that he's like, "You know, all I remember is this king had me very upset. But I'll be honest with you, I don't understand all the details about it." And it's like he's saying to him here, "Listen, you all are the wise men. You all are the ones that are supposed to be good at this. So it's like this. If you can't tell me not only what I dreamed, but what it means, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you cut into pieces, and I'm going to make your houses, your homes, a dunghill." Basically, what he's saying here is going to make you like the scat out in the field that's left behind by animals. It's going to be refuse. It's going to be nasty. That's what's going to happen to what you have left after I'm done with you. Verse 6, "But there is a reward in this. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." He said, "However, if you do right, if you take care of business, you do what I tell you to do, then man, you're going to have some rewards." Now, I can imagine what these rewards would be. Probably food, money, palaces, an exalted position in his kingdom. Can you imagine that these guys wanted those exalted positions? Don't you think they wanted the money? But they're just being honest with him. "Listen, king, we can't help you in this. We don't get it. We don't understand." Now we come to verses 7 through 19. Now, verses 7 through 19, what we find at the end of that is this. At the end of verse 19, is Daniel does have the dream revealed to him, right? And this is after all these men the king had sent for had said that what he wanted was absolutely impossible. "King, what you're asking for is impossible." Now, I do know this much about Old Testament history and in general, kings in general, okay? You didn't tell a king what you want's impossible. Why? Because the king was not used to being told no. Why is that? Because he was the sovereign over his land. He was the one that had total control of everything, humanly speaking, that went on in his kingdom. People that led his army, he's the one that appointed them. Those that would come and cook for him, whatever he wanted, if they couldn't fix it, someone better be figuring it out how to fix it, or they were going to die. That's what was going on here. So he's like, and they're like, "Listen, king, we don't know what's going on. We can't tell you." So, We find in verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. So if you can't tell me what's going on, there's only one thing I can declare for you, and it's this. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered, before the king said, there is not a man upon the earth. This is where we was talking about a while ago. What you're asking for is impossible, king. No one on this earth can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Verse 11. Not only has it never happened before, but it's a rare thing that the king requireth. In other words, we don't know that this has ever been required by a king before. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, they said gods. Understand, they had a lot of different gods. They had Baal, they had Moloch, they had all these different gods. Basically, they had gods for everything. All right? Moon god, sun god, maybe a god of rain. I can't say that for sure, but they had a lot of different gods, okay? Now, they had it right. No man could tell the king what was going on. But the problem is, the answer they had was gods plural. They didn't know Jehovah God. And they did not know that He was the answer to what they were looking for. So, we find in verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Said, all right, fine. Said, if you can't tell me the answer, every wise man, every person like the astrologer, like the magician, like the sorcerer, like the Chaldeans, all these wise people, they're all going to die because of you guys. If no one can show it to me, then you all will die. So verse 13, the decree went out that the wise men should be slain. And they not only sought these, but they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Remember, his fellows, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Not just Daniel, but the four of them. So they went looking for them. When Daniel and them was found, Daniel asked the captain of the guard, Arioch, and said, all right, Arioch, what's going on here? Why is the king so hasty to kill some people? What's going on? So Arioch told him. He said, all right, let me go in here to the king and try to talk some sense into him and see if he'll allow us to find out who seek our God to see if we can have the interpretation in the dream. So they went in to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar granted them permission, and then what happened? Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. So what we find here is they got on their face before God. They had a prayer meeting. And then God answered the prayers of these men in that prayer meeting. God not only told them the interpretation, but showed them what the dream was to begin with. And then notice what happened here in verse 20. We find that Daniel didn't just run to the king and say, hey, I've got the answer here, king. No, what we find is at this point that Daniel got up and he blessed the name of God forever and ever. And notice what he said, for wisdom and might are His. He thanked God for answering prayer. And folks, this is something that'd be good for us to do too from time to time. He thanked God for answered prayer. Number two, he thanked God for wisdom. Or that wisdom, that's knowledge, and might, that's power, all come from God. We need to remember that, folks, that God is a God of all wisdom and all power. He knows what we need. He knows what's going on in our life. Verse 21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge them that know understanding. Notice this in verse 21. Verse 21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He's the one that controls all the elements. Whether it be fall, whether it be winter, whether it be spring, whether it be summer. He's the one that superintends and watches out that time changes. Listen, right now, folks, it is not taking God off guard that it is 5 minutes after 8 Eastern Standard Time, and right now in California, it's 5 minutes after 5. What he's saying here is he knows where we're at, he knows the times that are going on, and he knows what we need and when we need it. But then notice this, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. You know something that didn't catch God off guard when Barack Obama won his two seats, his two terms? Didn't catch God off guard when Trump won. All that is in his control. This is what it says here. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. Those that have any understanding, those that have any sense whatsoever, God is the one that gives them that wisdom, right? And knowledge to them that know understanding. Even the smartest of the smart or the dumbest of the dumb, he's the one that gives that wisdom. Matter of fact, folks, this is something we need to think about here. God knows exactly where you're at right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever you may be thinking, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows your need. Matter of fact, I dare say he knows you better than you know him, than you know yourself. Basically, that's exactly what Daniel's saying here. Notice this too. He revealeth the deep and secret things. You know, everyone's looking for that next little nugget, that deep doctrine and knowledge, or that thing that no one else understands. Understand this, folks. Whatever you and I know and understand about this Bible, we only have that because God has given that to us. What little knowledge we know, it is only because God has revealed it to us. Notice, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Those things that are in the darkness that are hidden from us, God knows they're there. He's the one that shines the light and makes it known. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Verse 23, he kind of closes it off here. It says, all right, Lord. He said in conclusion, I am so thankful and I praise you that you have taught me what I need to know so I can go to the king. Not only do I thank you, but I praise you. You are worthy of worship. Then he goes on to say, O thou God of my fathers. Not only that he was his God, but he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before him. He was the same God that he was brought to worship before he was taken into captivity. Who hath given me wisdom and might. The wisdom that Daniel had, he realized it came from God. What power and might that he had, he knew that it came from God. Notice, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known to us the king's matter. We're thankful that you revealed to us the king's dream. Man, I tell you what, he was rejoicing with what had happened. Have you ever been in a situation before where God gave you wisdom and understanding? Where you had prayed all night long, you didn't know, you didn't understand, you didn't get it. But then at that last seeming hour, it seemed that God dealt favorably with you or someone that you knew. You know, the problem isn't that God doesn't answer prayer anymore, folks. The problem is we don't pray like we should. Listen, when Daniel went before God with the other Hebrew children, he wasn't going there for selfish reasons. I believe the whole time, and we see this from this prayer, that whenever he went to God and prayed, he prayed for wisdom, and he was praying for wisdom that God would make it known, that God would speak to hearts, that God would show it, so that way God would get the glory. Let me ask you a question today. Have you got something you're praying for? Then pray that whatever it is will bring God the glory. I tell you what, if we would get like that, and we would do that more often, this is what I think would happen. It would change our prayer life. It shouldn't just be about God give me or God bless me. It ought to be God, how is this going to honor you? And God willing, next week we'll see the interpretation of the dream and what it means, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. But our hope and prayer is tonight that yes, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had a dream. But understand, it was God who had the answer. And we'll get to that next week. Let's all stand.